This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
Yeah. Now, Amy Markscore's Chris Ronji on KMOX.
Happy President's Day, friends. It's my favorite day of the year, where we come in and we honor all the presidents, starting with George Washington. That's all we're going to do today.
So actually today, starting with George Washington, we're going to do short vignettes of every president from George Washington until our current. We've timed it out to take exactly 4 hours.
That's all we're going to do
today. That's all we're going to do.
314, what?
A quick break to talk about eggs.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's it.
314-436-7900 is the phone number here on KMOX. It is the Chris and Amy Show. We're glad you're with us today on this holiday. So if you're one of those people who has to be out and about on a President's Day, glad you're with us. You could be listening to us at home.
Yeah.
If you have a smart speaker, just say, hey, play KMOX, Alexa.
And can I just say, too, if you're out and about, what's wrong with you? This is not the top three. We're getting to it. But I was rooting against every single driver on the highway today.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Was driving 40 miles an hour, 40 in the fast lane.
That's
so dangerous.
I don't know what it was today, but this was one of the worst driving mornings I've seen. I don't know what it was.
One person was driving 20 miles an hour on Big Bend, and it was just causing traffic jams, and people were darting in and out around these slow drivers. I was rooting against every driver on the road today.
That's right. I hope you all get a ticket. 314-436-7900. Stream us on the Audacy app, AUDACY. And from that app, that's how you contact us, too. You know, you can leave us a voice message, record it, and send it. If you don't want to talk to us live, you could do that. We're also streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Checking out the window. Looks okay right now, but we are in for it. A snowmageddon is coming. Or is it? We are going to get snow. We're going to find out just how much. We'll talk to AccuWeather next segment.
And the mayor's race continues at a recent panel with all four candidates for the mayor of the city of St. Louis. Current mayor Tashara Jones had a moment when she was asked, where's the best place we can find you on any given day? And she mentioned Harold's Chicken, at which point someone in the crowd yelled out, it's been closed for over a year. So the mayor's race continues.
Harold's Chicken is pretty good, though.
Well, it was pretty good.
I'll give you that much. And it is the first full day of spring training for the Cardinals. Nolan Arenado is in camp right now. So it's a big day. It's spring training day. It is a fun day for all of us here because, well, we talked last week about how pitchers and catchers reported to camp, which is one of those milestone days. It gets you closer and closer to spring, gets you closer and closer to opening day. But today is the day in Jupiter, Florida, where the full team is there working out. So today is the first full practice for everybody. So we're in the thick of it. And guess what, Amy? I know what you know. You tell people.
Ladies and gentlemen, this week, this very week, we have a Cardinals baseball game. Cardinals spring training baseball games on KMOX Radio begin on Saturday. That's this week, and I'm thrilled about it. Here's what's going to happen, too, guys, because we have Snowmageddon coming Tuesday into Wednesday, and those temperatures are going to plummet. We are going to be listening to Cardinals baseball on KMOX Radio while there is a beautiful blanket of snow on the ground, Ranj, which for some reason makes it even better.
I gotta be honest with you.
You know how amazing it's gonna be this Saturday?
I actually kind of wish that it started today. Now, there is some that's coming down, but they're talking about it being sort of a dusting, like not that big of a deal today. I think it would have been a lot cooler if, you know, everybody's off work already. Not everybody. Listen. We're here. But most people, a lot of people, off work because of the holiday. You get to be at home, a little blanket of snow on the ground. You can know that spring training baseball is happening. Couldn't have been anything more perfect.
Just try to be happy, Ranj. Just come on. Look, listen, there's no spring training baseball today, not on the radio. It's not snowing. When it snows, it'll snow. That's the most important thing. It'll snow in time for the baseball game on Saturday. Hey, I know we're going to talk more baseball with Matt Pauly. We're also going to talk hockey with Lou Korak because, holy cow, the Four Nations face-off game between the United States and Canada was the best thing to happen to hockey ever. John Cooper, who's the head coach for Team Canada, also with the Tampa Bay Lightning in the NHL, John Cooper said that the game is in a better place because last night, or that game a couple nights ago, game existed. And that is so true. I have never seen so many political pundits, politicians, non-hockey fans commenting on social media about this game. There were three fights in the first 9 seconds after the opening faceoff. Two of them involved Tkachuk brothers and the other Colton Parayko. So you had a St. Louis connection in all three fights. I mean, the NBA had its all-star weekend and there's like a dunk contest and they're just kind of like half-heartedly dribbling around cones. The NFL turned, understandably, its Pro Bowl into a flag football game. I get it. It's a tough sport. But here in the NHL, they ditched the all-star weekend for the Four Nations face-off and you had the best players in the league throwing haymakers. I loved how someone said you can imagine all the GMs and owners going, okay, boys, this is going to replace the All-Star Weekend, but we're still in the middle of a playoff hunt, so don't do anything stupid. And then they go out.
Well, don't get hurt.
Yeah, they're throwing haymakers. Was it Charlie McAvoy? Absolutely laid out Connor McDavid. It was perhaps the single best, most fun, exciting game of hockey I've ever watched. Different than the Stanley Cup Final. I get it. Right, the Blues, that was insane. That had different emotions. But this, just the pure, unadulterated passion of two teams that seemingly actually wanted to kill each other.
We are going to talk more about that. In fact, Lou Korak, as Amy mentioned, will be on the show today. But also, there was a monumental thing that happened last night. It was the 50th anniversary episode, or I suppose the celebration episode of Saturday Night Live.
Now, Saturday Night Live, as you know, turned 50 years old this year, and I turned 79. But I feel like I'm 65, which is also not good.
So that was Steve Martin delivering the monologue last night.
I
love that joke. That's a great joke.
It's a great joke. And honest to goodness, he looks great. Because he's always had the white hair. And
he looks like 70s Steve Martin.
He looks the exact same. I texted my mom and I'm like, Steve Martin looks amazing. And it wasn't just the way he looked. His demeanor was young.
Well, yeah, he's always kind of been that way.
Yeah.
He had the Anderson Cooper thing going on where
yes.
he was gray when
yeah.
he was in his 30s.
He looks like...
Or white. It was white hair when he was in his 30s.
I'm not saying this political. I'm just saying the most prominent old person. Like, it felt like Joe Biden could be his dad, but they're like 3 years apart or 2 years apart. Like, Steve Martin looked so young and acted so young. Good for him.
Yeah, tell us what you think of the episode last night. To me, the fact that it happened was... It was so wrapped up in nostalgia for me because it was probably the first show that I ever really liked.
As a kid?
No, as a kid, I watched it as a kid
so
for
that
sure.
So you liked that show before you liked Looney Tunes?
A comedy. I should say comedy.
Yeah.
Right. Like it was, I would watch it with my dad. My dad loved to watch it. Was vaguely aware of some of the older sketches, the ones that happened when I was like 2 or 3 years old, you know, the samurai mm-hmm. and, you know, cheeseburger, all that, the billy goat, all of those were things that I sort of, you know, I have early memories of stuff like that. So there's a lot of nostalgia wrapped up in that show. And what's interesting about the show to me is that I feel like for generations, it seems like people have been complaining about how, oh, this... Yeah. This era sucks. This era of SNL is no good. It's like we do this all the time. And yeah, when you watch the show, just like last night, there are some bangers.
Yeah.
And then there are a bunch of things that flop. But that's pretty much every night on SNL, I think.
It is, which is why, to me, SNL is better in memory. Like, I always say, like, okay, I'm fine. I guess people like me. I don't know. I try to be a good person. But I feel like when I die, I feel like I'm really going to shine in memoriam.
you're going to be great.
Everyone's going to love me looking back, right?
Oh.
Like, oh, Amy, we miss her, right? You may not be crazy about me now, but later I really think you're going to love me. That's how I feel with Saturday Night Live. I think whenever I watch it in the moment, it's not that funny. But when I look back, my brain... filters out all the boring nonsense. It filters out all the unfunny jokes and the cream rises to the top and I only remember the bangers. And that's why to me, Saturday Night Live is better to think back and remember and look up a particular moment of a skit rather than actually sit down and watch it.
Well, and people now are, and we've talked about this a ton, where they just can't joke anymore, especially when it comes to their political parties.
Mm-hmm.
Where you cannot, you do not make fun of my president. You make fun of my president and I'm going to lose my mind. And I think that's an unfortunate place to be because we did not used to be that way in the 90s, in the aughts. I mean, we were making fun of Clinton and Bush and it was fine, Reagan, and it was fine and everybody laughed at it. And now you can't do it. So SNL gets more criticism than it used to.
Yeah.
But I would say this, whether or not it's always great, which it isn't always great, I always want it to be around.
I love knowing it's
on. I love the idea of knowing that it's always there.
I like SNL more than I like parades in the sense that with parades, I like knowing they're going on, but I never watch them.
Yeah.
I like knowing SNL is going on, and occasionally I'll see part of it. But there were some skits to me that just, they weren't political at all. They just weren't funny.
Yeah.
I don't know, like the whole wedding table,
that was
wedding
really
party
bad.
Scene was pretty bad. And I was like, it was not political at all. It just wasn't funny. And so for me, again, looking back on SNL, I'm never going to remember that scene because nobody cares. It wasn't funny, but I'll remember the good ones.
The Q&A with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler was really funny, I thought. John Hamm made an appearance. He made an appearance in a couple of moments last night.
I wish I had tuned back
in. I did not see John Goodman, though. Did I miss him? Because John Goodman hosted that show a lot. Yeah. So
no, that's a great point. I don't know.
I didn't notice him. I did not notice him. If he was there and I missed him, let me know. 314-436-7900. But we are getting a winter storm probably. Certainly parts of the listening area are going to catch it. We're going to talk to AccuWeather meteorologist Heather Zehr next. All right, it's not snowing yet, but it is supposed to be. Really, tomorrow is when it's going to happen for real. And to talk it through with us, To know exactly what to expect, we are visited by AccuWeather meteorologist Heather Zehr, who joins us on the Chris and Amy Show. How's it going, Heather?
Hey, not too bad. How are you both doing?
We're doing okay. Let's start with today. There's supposed to be a little bit, right? Are we still getting that, or what's happening?
Yes. Yeah, there will be a little bit of snow today. It's going to be kind of one of those days where it's going to be very light snow and flurries on and off through the day. Right now, we have a little bit that is not quite reaching the ground over southern parts of Illinois. We have a little bit that's just starting to be able to reach the ground off to the west of St. Louis. We'll probably start to see some snowflakes here in about an hour or so. Again, we're expecting it to be light, though, so little or no accumulation out of it. Not really expecting it to come down hard enough to cause roadway issues either, which is a good thing because with temperatures only in the teens right now and getting to no better than the mid-20s today, it's not going to take much to cause problems on the roadway. So the fact that this is going to stay pretty light should keep things on a pretty even keel as far as travel goes.
All right. So, Heather, so today people should be fine if they are at work or going out and about. They should be fine this evening, rush hour. Tell us about tomorrow and maybe kind of walk us through some drive times, because tomorrow morning in the St. Louis area, St. Louis City, St. Louis County, should we be prepared to have bad road conditions tomorrow morning?
I think it's possible that there will be some spotty poor conditions, but I think it's overall going to stay fairly light and not too much of a problem even through tonight. We are covering for a coating to an inch, and I think there will be places that get that. Other places probably aren't going to have much, but I would definitely be concerned that there are at least spotty places where there are icy roads. So I would allow extra time tomorrow morning to be able to accommodate that. What I'm more concerned about is that as we go through the day, we start to see a little more robust low pressure area developing off to our south. This is going to be one of those cases where a low pressure is kind of just starting to form, and the low kind of ends up forming over the Gulf of Mexico, but we're going to see the snow and the rain and all of that nasty precipitation spreading up northward from there. And I think that northern parts of Missouri and Iowa are going to be able to pick up some of the light precipitation, and that's kind of the northern fringe. That does get us into a zone where here in St. Louis, that, yeah, we do pick up some accumulating snow. I think the most likely time to have that happen is the first part of the day. So if we can get through, say, lunchtime without too much in the way of difficulties, I think we're largely okay. Certainly by the time we get to the evening rush and the overnight hours, if we can manage to keep that heavy snow to the south, then we're definitely in good shape and we'll miss the worst of it. But areas to the south, especially tomorrow, you want to be prepared through the day for a possibility of some icy travel and some snowy travel with some accumulation.
Yeah. So I've seen the maps where it's we expect this many inches from here to here. And in this range we're looking at in the St. Louis area and the part immediately south, I've seen between 6 and 9 inches, and just north of us about what, 3 to 6, something in that range. Right.
Right?
Or
yeah.
All right. So.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, so that's the difficulty with this particular storm system, is that when it does come in from the south like that, it makes it difficult to be able to kind of to draw those lines, because then you start to get into a point, I think, relatively far south of us, but south of us nonetheless, where you have some mixing going on as well. And then how much mixing you get also ends up with some big differences in how much snow you can pick up out of these storms.
So it's possible that here in the St. Louis area and immediately south, we could get 6 to 9 inches, but that's not guaranteed.
That's right. And I think that we're actually a little more concerned with that being an issue as we go into Wednesday with kind of the next piece that comes out. And that's where that is a possibility as well. So basically, overall, we're looking for repeated storm systems through the course of the week that are going to continue to bring threats for snow and icy travel.
Okay, so Wednesday again, what is the worst time that you're thinking about that Wednesday could be the most problematic for drivers?
I guess on Wednesday, I'm leaning toward a possibility that the worst time is still during the morning hours, okay. But a lot of it is going to depend on the speed of all of this. But yeah, right now, kind of leaning toward the morning hours on Wednesday.
And for tomorrow, if you do have things to do or want to get them done, you would suggest that if you're in this listening area or if you're in the St. Louis, you know, the metropolitan area, that you'd want to do it early on. And by the afternoon, we should be. That's when it probably will really ramp up.
For tomorrow, yeah probably
yeah, okay.
So, yeah. I think today, tonight even, really, it's kind of on and off, so you're probably not running into a huge problem. Though, again, overnight, not really running much in the way of any kind of errands or stuff. But if you're traveling, you have to go to work, whatever, you might run into some slippery travel. And certainly by first thing tomorrow morning, I would be prepared for that with additional snow through the day. But, again, still mostly lighter. And then I think tomorrow night and into Wednesday, that's where most of our heavy snow potential is going to come along.
What about people who might have, you know, their kids have tournaments, maybe in Chicago, up north a little bit, northeast, driving to Ohio. In those areas, should they expect to be driving or flying into even worse conditions?
If you're headed north, I think you're in good shape.
Okay.
You're mostly going to see this storm system moving kind of along through mostly the Tennessee Valley, not as much as you get up into more of the typical Ohio Valley type states, including Illinois, Indiana. Further north, you probably won't see any kind of snow or anything like that up into Michigan. Where you might run into trouble is, say, you had to travel to the south. You're headed to, say, Dallas or someplace like that. They're also going to get this a little bit earlier. So kind of in that Tuesday, Wednesday time frame, I wouldn't want to be having to make a run over to Dallas or really even over to someplace like Nashville or someplace like that, where heading south, you're going to run into more of the worst of it.
AccuWeather meteorologist Heather Zehr, as always, we appreciate your time today. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, you're very welcome. Hope to talk soon.
So all I heard was Snowmageddon, and we're all in trouble.
Snow.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snow.
We're gonna play that tomorrow.
I think this has just been a delightful winter. Listen, normally it could just be 37 and gloomy, which kind of puts you in a dreary and glum mood. But this is like you get little aftershocks of Christmas. Like if Christmas is the earthquake, these are the aftershocks of snow, and it puts you in the holiday spirit. We're gonna close our eyes and open them again, and it's going to be March, and we'll be talking about springtime and Easter bunnies and things like that. This is the best possible scenario for a winter.
And the only present you're going to wake up to is a snow shovel. And maybe a dead car battery. So,
well,
Merry Christmas.
Unless again, I don't want to flex. But 41 years into my life, for the first time ever, I have a garage.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Did you know it's President's Day?
I did. I love the president.
It is President's Day. And man, we love to talk to this guy, Peter Castor.
Go get yourself a mattress.
Today, this is the weekend, apparently, to do it for some reason.
Yeah.
Peter Castor, professor of history and American culture studies at Washington University. He's a friend of the show, and he's with us next on KMOX. Chris and Amy show on KMOX on this President's Day. And we have with us in studio Peter Castor, who is the professor of history and American culture studies at Washington University. He's been a regular on this show.
Yeah.
We don't pay him, though. And you know what? We're not going to start. But Peter Castor is with us here in studio. It's good to have you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me. I'd be doing better if you paid me.
But... Well, yes.
We got to get paid first.
Yeah.
Understood.
This is all voluntary.
We are pretty close to volunteers at this point.
So we're going to talk to you about the history of President's Day, but also Peter did inform us during the break that mm-hmm. he is an Eagles fan, so he celebrated the Super Bowl,
well,
but he did not climb any lampposts.
He didn't. He's an Eagles fan because he's from Philadelphia.
Right.
Not just like randomly an Eagles fan. Yeah,
yeah,
he's from Philadelphia.
Not like my friend who lives here who just
yeah.
picked them one year.
He's an OG Eagles fan.
That's right.
And he allegedly did not climb any lampposts at WashU.
There is no criminal record of
There's
me
no,
climbing or yeah. tearing down a lamppost.
Okay, well, we hope you didn't. No. So it is President's Day, and it's interesting for me because, well, we don't have the day off, but a lot of people seem to, and it didn't start with just a President's Day. We had Lincoln Birthday and all of that. So why did we make this change? Why did we go from that to President's Day?
So President's Day started in 1879 as a commemoration of George Washington's birthday, which is on February 22nd. And it was a big moment to do that then. It was right after the Civil War. Washington was this symbol of union. And so at a moment when the government was really trying to emphasize the importance of bringing the union back together, they said, we're going to make this national holiday in honor of George Washington. So it started with him. Then people started celebrating Lincoln. And I can't remember when it became President's Day rather than Washington's birthday. That's certainly during my lifetime. But
I feel like it was in the last 20 years.
It was,
right?
It was, yeah. And it was really built around the notion that rather than celebrating an individual, we would celebrate mm-hmm. the institution and what it stands for, which frankly is what the holiday was created to do when it was built around Washington.
It feels a lot like George Costanza getting upset that there's too many parties, that there's we got to go to an engagement party, and now there's a rehearsal,
right.
and there's all this other
yeah.
stuff. So there's too many president's birthdays, so we just had to combine everybody. That's what it felt like.
I think it did. I think that's true. I think that was a big part of it. And also there were people who started saying, not just people, there were politicians who said, well, you need to add. And then they would put the president who was particularly important to their party.
Yeah.
And by making it President's Day, the idea was this is a national holiday for all Americans about all our presidents. And the presidents are supposed to symbolize the best values of our democracy.
Now, obviously, you are full-time faculty at WashU, so you're teaching history, American history. Is there instead of saying, like, who's your favorite president, is there a president that you get most excited to talk about, and why is it Millard Fillmore?
Don't put down
part.
Millard Fillmore. There's a Millard Fillmore Society, which used to give out an award for the greatest act of mediocrity during the previous
oh,
year.
Really?
Oh, I'm not kidding.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that was brilliant.
Dude. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. So I actually find that George Washington is
yeah.
the president I always get excited talking about because he was the first. There were no precedents. He faced a lot of really, really difficult decisions where he could have made catastrophic choices, mm-hmm. and he made the right choice a lot. With really uncanny success, I do ask my students this every year. I give them a survey. I ask them, who's your favorite mm-hmm. president? I ask them not to rank them, but to categorize them. Are they great? Are they bad? Are they just forgettable? Millard Fillmore is forgettable. For many of my students, Abraham Lincoln is their favorite. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of students from Illinois and Missouri. That's not surprising. But there's a whole industry built around celebrating and honoring Abraham Lincoln. So that's who they tend to like. So I opt for Washington. My students opt for Lincoln. And when you teach about them, both of those presidents are presidents who students can accept. It doesn't feel partisan in any particular way. So they're neutral in that sense.
I guess a quick follow-up would be, what were some of the potentially catastrophic decisions that George Washington could have made that he didn't?
What would his title be? So John Adams came to him with this long title. You should be called, I wish I could remember it. It was something like, you should be called Your Most Supreme Greatness or something like that.
That's what Amy calls me when I come in.
There you go.
Your Supreme Greatness.
That's a little Star Wars-y.
Be a great title, yes. He just said, well, Mr. President. Hmm. And his point was, the president is a citizen who holds an office and then leaves that office. The president is not this vaunted figure who holds the office indefinitely. He's the president who decided he would leave after two terms. He almost left after his first term. And I think he eventually regretted running for re-election. Mm. So all of these principles, that the president is a civilian who leaves office, that the president serves two terms and then chooses to leave. So that's about the office. And then there were some other specific questions. He managed to keep the United States out of a war that erupted in Europe after the French Revolution, a war that lasted for over 20 years. So a lot of these were really prudent decisions on his part.
I didn't want to turn it this direction, but you're talking about this and it's making me think of President Trump's tweet or Truth Social post from a couple of days ago where he said, he who saves his country does not violate any law. That I'm reading it wrong, but a sentiment like that seems to be at odds with maybe the way Washington would have seen it.
Who's that quote attributed to? Do you know? Sorry, you didn't think you'd be quizzed. It's attributed to Napoleon Bonaparte, not someone you want to be taking advice from on democratic governance, a guy who... installed himself after in a basically a political coup, who crowned himself emperor and who controlled all facets of French government for 15 years. So it is a statement that also is at odds, not just with American law as it is now, but frankly, with the way presidents imagined their role, that the office is above them. They're not above the office. So I think that statement, if for the people who are paying attention to it, it's doing them more harm than good. Let's put it that way.
Mm. You know, as we talk about the evolution of the executive branch, and that, as Ron brought up, that quote was something that definitely stood out over the weekend. But just kind of as we look at the executive branch historically, I was reading up on, you know, different presidents as the way they treated the position. And as you mentioned, George Washington stepped down after two terms, and that was kind of understood. But of course, it wasn't codified yet. And so then you have an FDR who runs for president four times and seems that if he hadn't passed away, would have kept running indefinitely. What are your thoughts on a president like FDR running four times and then afterwards amending the Constitution to say, let's limit it at two?
Right. So one of the things people often talk about are norms for the presidency. They're only norms until they're broken. And that actually was a presidential norm that FDR broke. And his way of explaining it to the public and all of the evidence we have is that this is what he believed himself, was that the supreme crisis facing the United States made this necessary. So when he ran for his third term, the U.S. was still in the depths of the Depression. He said, we need stability in government in order to get us out of this crisis. And then when he ran again in 1944, it was at the height of the largest war in U.S. history. But he was pretty clear that that was going to be his last term. And it's also clear that Americans, first of all, Americans agreed with him because they reelected him. And they also believed, all right, appropriate here, but inappropriate in general. And that's why Americans amended the Constitution to formally, to codify what had been a norm, to say that presidents can serve two terms, but should only serve two terms. And Roosevelt himself probably shouldn't have run for re-election in 44 because not because there was anything wrong with it, but he was profoundly sick. His hypertension and heart disease were already catching up with him. In the summer of 44, his doctors thought he might die. He seemed so sick. And they did this crash course in medical treatment and pretty much required him to take a break. So, and his body stabilized. But when he was, when he went to his final inauguration, he was profoundly weak. And of course, he died of a stroke only 3 months after being sworn in for his fourth term.
Peter Castor, who is a professor of history and American culture studies at Wash U, is with us on KMOX. It's very easy to ask who's your favorite president. Is there an underrated president we don't give enough attention to?
So there actually are a bunch of underrated presidents. There are certainly overrated presidents, and all former presidents who aren't wildly popular or reelected think they're underrated. You know, they say, oh, people didn't understand what I meant. You mentioned George Costanza. There's an episode where they're the Van Buren boys.
Yes.
Martin Van Buren thought he was grossly underestimated. Someone who was sort of underestimated in his own time, had a resurgence, but has disappeared off everyone's radar, is Lyndon Johnson, who was probably not only one of the most consequential presidents, but one of the, frankly, one of the most effective domestic policy presidents since FDR. In many ways, the fights we are seeing now in Washington are about the government apparatus that he built. It's about the agencies that he built out, the new agencies he created, and his ability to get them through Congress and to very quickly staff them and get them working was really extraordinary. To my students, he's kind of an irrelevancy, which I find really interesting. So he's the first one who comes to mind. There are others, but I think he's a good example, not only of an underrated president, but how presidents get forgotten.
Is it also true he used to drag his aides into the bathroom with him while he made?
What?
I didn't drag him. He didn't drag
them. He made them, did he not?
But he just kept talking as he walked in.
Okay.
Oh. He had a shower installed in the White House. And he said he wanted as much water pressure as possible. So
it that was, I can get behind.
Oh, dude. It was like, totally behind that.
But people said it.
That's another Seinfeld.
They worried it would injure him, like it would flay his skin off or something. He was, in many ways, a deeply peculiar man. But I think anyone who runs for president is often peculiar in one way or another.
You have to be.
You have to.
You got to be a little nuts.
You know who can save this country?
Me. Yeah. I'm the one who can do it. Peter Castor, I would love to talk to you again when one of my favorite holidays, Three Flags Day, comes up, because I love Three Flags Day. I think it's so fascinating.
I don't even know what Three Flags Day is.
Well, you're an expert in the Louisiana Purchase, right? Okay, yeah. That's the two-day period in St. Louis where we were under three different flags over, what, like a 48-hour period?
48-hour period in 1804 when we were we were governed by Spain. Authority was granted quickly to France because France was then handing it over to the United States. I'm always happy to talk about Three Flags Day.
I think it's super interesting.
I agree.
Yeah. And there was a fort right where Ballpark Village is.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
San Carlos?
Yes. Which was also right near the site of the westernmost battle of the American Revolution. The American Revolution was fought here in St. Louis.
We're going to do that.
This is I feel robbed.
You didn't know about this?
I didn't know about Three Flags Day. We would love to have you in. We could
That'd
do like
great.
Peter Castor.
You could just hang with us for all 4 hours.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. We said all presidents all day.
Let's see. March 9th and 10th. Is that a weekend or? I don't know. I'm going to figure that out. Middle of the week, you're in.
Perfect.
Oh, it's a Monday. Monday the 10th, you're in with us.
Sounds good.
All right.
That's Peter Castor, professor of history and American culture studies at Washington University. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Now, did you see this? with Chris and Amy.
So happy to have been able to tell you about Three Flags Day, Amy. Didn't think you... I thought for sure you would know about Three Flags Day.
I don't know how I didn't. I don't know how I didn't. But I think it's very, very interesting. Hey, you know, we were talking about President's Day and how it doesn't fall on any president's birthday. Yeah. It was originally created on February 22nd. The holiday was moved to the third Monday in February in 1971. Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which moved some federal holidays to Monday so that people could enjoy more three-day weekends.
Why would you not? Why would you,
you know,
not?
If you're going to take off a day, take off Monday, because Fridays, you mail it in anyway.
That's right.
It's not worth taking off Friday.
I would rather have Monday off than Friday.
Oh, 100%. 10 times out of 10.
Exactly.
Yep.
This happened a couple of years ago, I think, but I just found out about it because it was on social media.
Late to the party again.
Yeah, this is another late to the party. But did you see this professor at a university in New Zealand who sent an email to his students? And this happened during the height of COVID. So this was October of 2020. I had not seen it, but it's amazing. He sends this email, and this is totally real. He says, unfortunately, I have to reschedule the exam, and I will have to cancel class on Thursday. Against my best wishes, I have been shot and...
Wait, what?
He says... Against my best wishes, I have been shot and I am being treated in the ER. I also have COVID and the divorce is getting messy.
This poor
guy. Hold on. He says, office hours are still 11 to 12 on Monday with your TA. If I am alive, the exam will be moved to Monday of next week. So this is a... It's a real thing. He is was a professor of, I think, English studies. Patrick Wilson was his name, and he was okay. He did survive. But yes, he was shot, and yes, he did have COVID at the time. All of that was going on while he was getting the divorce.
Did him being shot have anything to do with the divorce?
I don't know that part.
Because that would make it messy.
Because he
divorce
did,
is getting messy.
He did have a follow-up where he said, well, I guess this went viral, and yes, all of this is true, but I am okay, and the exam will happen. That's, how awesome is that?
That's really
against
funny.
My best wishes, I have been shot.
It's just also, it's
how
so
did I not hear about this?
Calm and practical.
I love that so
that
much.
That is right
also,
up
I have
there.
COVID.
And the divorce is getting messy. That's right up there with the guy who knew he was going to get fired, so he hired a clown to sit in a meeting with him.
Why don't I remember that? Did we talk about it?
Yes, because I'm pretty sure you admired it to no end.
I've seen the guy who quit, and he told his... He had hired a band to come in with him, and he said, I quit, and the band just started playing, and he walked out. With his arm. Dude, I want to...
If I quit, I'm hiring a band. That's,
oh, my gosh.
Like a mariachi band or something to follow you around.
Just,
oh, my gosh.
You
that's
know,
so good.
I just want a really spectacular firing. I have been shot against my best wishes. Okay. It is Monday, and at Monday at 11 o'clock, we talk to political commentator Chris Saliza, who also is working on President's Day with us. We'll talk to Chris next on KMOX.